أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا داود إنا جعلناك خليفة في الأرض فاحكم بين الناس بالحق ولا تتبع الهوى فيضلك عن سبيل الله إن الذين يضلون عن سبيل الله لهم عذاب شديد بما نسوا يوم الحساب صدق الله العظيم. We had discussed some aspects about the advice of how to avoid disputes or how to resolve it easily, what it takes to resolve it, and the advice of Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullah alayh, that if there are these two elements in both parties, that without difficulty this will get resolved. It will get resolved in one way or the other, in the sense that whoever is liable for something, they will understand their liability, they will accept it, and wherever there's a misunderstanding, that misunderstanding will get cleared. But the essential aspects that he mentioned that are necessary, one is tawazu, that a person has true humility, and the other is the aspect of ithar, that a person, he is ready to give preference to others over himself. So he's not bent on insisting on every last bit that I must have this. It's something that he can easily overlook, he'll overlook it. So in any case, just to expand a little bit on this, what was discussed was that it does not necessarily mean that somebody has ill intent whenever there's a dispute. Sometimes that can be a case, and sometimes it is just purely some misunderstanding. And this is not impossible, it happens. Then the other part of this is that in our hearts and minds, and the way we deal with things, it's like almost an impossibility that if there's a dispute of some sort between two parties, between us and somebody, then the heart can simultaneously stay clean. It's like almost, it's either day or night. Either there's no dispute, then the heart can stay clean. If there's some dispute over some matter, then it's impossible for the heart to stay clean. It's impossible for the tongue to stay clean from ghibat, from some kind of vulgarity, maybe Allah forbid, from just whatever other things might be blurted out from the tongue. So this sounds like a very, very impossible thing for us, that these two things can happen, that there is, for whatever reason, some misunderstanding. Somebody has claimed some right, the other person is still now, hasn't yet understood what his responsibility is or liability is. So now there is some issue. But now while that issue is carrying on, the heart can still stay clean. That's like almost not possible in our mind, but it can happen. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mawla Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he has written that in his extended family there was an incident, and these people were living in about 10 miles out of the city. Now in that period of time, 10 miles is a long distance, because 10 miles you would go through with horse and cart and whatever else. So 10 miles was a long journey. And this dispute and quarrel or issue, whatever, it now had come to the point where it was a case now that's taking place. So the case was in Saharanpur in the city, and they were 10 miles away. So now when that case commenced, so both parties were living in the same place, next door to each other, or in the same, like very close to each other, and both had to come all the way to the city. So whoever had hitched his cart first, now you have to hitch it to the horse that's going to draw the cart. Whoever had hitched his cart first, the other person saw, okay, he hitched his cart, he would without any issue come and jump on. And there was no reservation from the other party also to take him along. And they're going where? They're going together to court, where they will be on opposite sides of each other. And there was absolutely no hesitation in this, that this person felt anything about it to go and jump on the other person's cart. And that person didn't have any problem, and sometimes it was this person's cart and sometimes that person's cart, because this matter carried on for some time. Now, how can this happen? If somebody, we have a dispute with someone, then if we see him going somewhere in his car, it will be like almost impossible for us if he's going to the masjid. For me to go and sit in his car, it will mean that now I've conceded defeat. So I can't do it. And to take him in my car is as if now I'm giving him the green light that you carry on doing what you want to do. So something or the other will become the barrier in our minds to avoid any kind of positive interaction with the person. And we will always have something negative. There won't be any space for some positivity. The Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali writes about also further one incident. He says that there was a dispute between two parties, and this also now was going on for some time. And then it happened that the person who was the defendant, or well, the claimant, wallahu alam, one of the two parties, he passed away. So now when he passed away, so the other party, he immediately, well, maybe very shortly after, he sent a note and a message to the wife of the deceased that, look, my dispute and quarrel was with my brother. Maybe it was his brother, blood brother, maybe it was, he's just referring to him as his Muslim brother. My dispute was with my brother, not with you. The documents are on the way alongside this. You fill in whatever the claim you want and I will settle it. Because this dispute is over now. That while he was around, we had an issue, but there's no issue with you. But now this has become his estate now. So now what is to be, now the matter has now moved on. The estate has become the disputant party. Because now the estate will become the person who has to now defend this or claim or whatever. He said, that was a dispute with him, he's gone. The documents are there, you fill in what you want to fill in terms of whatever the claim is, and I will settle it. So what the point, what this indicates was that yes, there was a dispute. But the dispute, number one, there was no ill intent. It was some misunderstanding. Somebody understood it right, somebody understood it wrong. Somebody forgot something, whatever the case might have been. But the heart was clean. If the heart wasn't clean, says, well, he's gone, now we make sure we take every penny. This is on a very, very low level. But if you go further up in the lives of the Sahaba-e-Kiram, then even in a state of war, because both parties understood something in the light of the Quran and Sunnah, and whatever the issue had come up, each side felt that this was necessary to uphold, even if it means give my life for it. So in the light of the Sunnah, this is necessary, that this must be upheld. And the other party understood in the light of their knowledge differently, that we need to stand up for this. So any case, these things happened, that it even came to a point of war. There's no need to get into all the technical details of it, but this much for our understanding, it came to a point of war. Now when it comes to a point of war, so now automatically these thoughts will then run, but then they obviously then had ill feelings for one another, they had bad blood between them. They might have been like we, they say, al-mar'u yaqisu ala nafsihi, a person, he judges others based upon his own situation. How he is, he thinks others are the same. Na'udhu billah, we think the Sahaba were like us. Whereas we are not even one fraction worth the dust on their shoes. So when one such incident happened, so Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, it is mentioned about him that he was on the one side, on the side of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And this was war. But they would be, unlike nowadays how things might be, in those days they were that manner of which things were done in that time. So it was, no, now this is the time that that army now, they have their meals. So at the time of the meals, he would cross the lines and go and join them. So when he would go and join them, nobody chased him away from there. They accommodated him. They entertained him. And they shared the meal with him too. And now, this didn't happen once off, it happened several times. But now every time he's crossing the lines, nobody on that side is chasing him away. And nobody on this side is telling him anything too, that what's your problem now? You must make up your mind, you're on this side or that side. You sounding like more like a fence sitter or something. Nobody told him anything. But eventually somebody out of curiosity asked him, that this is nevertheless looking strange. Strange meaning it's unusual, that if you are on that side of the army, with that army, how come you're coming and eating on this side? So he very casually responded and remarked, I believe them to be on the correct position, so therefore I'm siding with them. They got the right understanding of this issue, and they are on the correct understanding and position, so I'm siding with them. And why I come this side is because the food is better on this side. So the food is better here, so I came and joined them here. But now how could they accommodate him when they're at war, and he's siding on that side? Because the hearts were clean. The hearts were clean. When this war broke out, the Roman king, he wrote to Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala that we are ready to help you. So in other words, help you to do what? To attack and to defeat Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And now this is the two sides of the party, they are at this loggerhead, so to say. Now he's writing to Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala that we are ready to assist you. So Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala wrote back to him in a very, very strong manner. And in fact, there's no harm in repeating one of those words. He called him a dog. And he wrote to him. And he said to him that if you even raise your eyes at my brother Ali. Now there's this war on, they're on opposite sides. And he's writing to this Christian Roman king that if you even raise your eyes, meaning in a bad way, and have any bad intentions about my brother Ali, then I will be the first one to join the ranks in his army. And then further he even stated, I will then uproot you from your land like how carrots are uprooted from the ground. So now how can he be saying some things like this in defense of Ali radiallahu ta'ala if his heart was not clean? On the eve before the battle, somebody asked Ali radiallahu ta'ala that the people on the opposite side, are they mushriks? So he said they ran away from shirk. They abandoned shirk. How can they be mushriks? So, well, okay, are they munafiqs? So he recited the ayat of the Quran Sharif in which some of the qualities of the munafiqeen are mentioned. He says, these people are all free of all this. They have the opposite qualities. So how can they be munafiqs? He said, then, so what are they? He said, they are our brothers. They are our brothers who have rebelled against us, but they are our brothers. But their rebellion too is based on their misunderstanding. So now this is the extent of which, now when a person has some kind of, let alone such a major issue and dispute, when there's some small issues too, can he call him his brother? Do we do it? this is my brother. We'll have the worst kind of titles for him. And we'll not be able to even say one word of positivity about him. We won't be able to think positively about him. But these personalities, despite how huge that difference may have been, but the difference was based on, number one, ikhlas. The difference wasn't based on nafsaniyat. Difference was there. But each party was steeped in knowledge. They were not just people of jahalat. They were people of deep knowledge. So in the light of that, they were obliged to, what they understood in the light of the Quran and Sunnah, they were mujtahideen, people of extremely high level of understanding. They were fuqaha. So they had to obviously act on what they believed was right. But that stemmed out of pure ikhlas. And together with the ikhlas, there was adab. They didn't cross the line of adab, though it came to whatever it came. In the sense that they didn't start becoming, start belittling others. Actually still saying it's our brothers. So now this is that aspect about that when there's the tazkiyah has been made, as we discussed yesterday, Hazrat Hadi Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali, his advice when there's tawazu, number one, tawazu comes from where? How is the tawazu developed? How is it acquired? It is when tazkiyah has happened. If the tazkiyah has taken place, dunya is dunya, disputes will happen. But with the tawazu and the isar, when this tazkiyah has happened, the approach to deal with the matter will be different. And when that has not happened, then dunya will become the primary focus. Or the ego will become the primary issue. I, that ego, or the dunya, the material things, that will become the primary focus. So then everything else can go out of the window. Respect can go out, then every other consideration can go out. This will be what will direct the whole issue, how it will be approached, what will be done, what will be blurted out from the tongue, what will be the manner in which things are done. So this is the lesson that we learn from here. There will be differences, but if that differences are based, and in day-to-day things also, if those differences are based, number one, on knowledge, and they are based on ikhlas and on adab, it won't harm anybody. It will not harm anybody. The respect will still remain. Just on this one incident, there was a very, very severe dispute, meaning difference of opinion, dispute, meaning difference of opinion, among two very great personalities in India, when the partition of India issue came up. The one side was Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. He was of the view that there should be no partition, there should be a partitioning of India, and the Muslims must have their own state. On the other side was Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Badni Rahmatullah Ali. So now there was a political party at that time, the Muslim League. So Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali supported this view of the Muslim League. Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali, he was of the opposite view, that India should not be partitioned. And he was very strongly working towards this. It did get partitioned afterwards, but this was his view. And this view happened to be also the position that at that time there was another political party, the Indian Congress or whatever, and that was their view. Now the Muslim League was a Muslim orientated, well, the Muslims were the people in this party. The Congress had a whole mixture. But now this was his view. And now the people at the head of this view were these two personalities. So everybody else was either gravitating around one of them, either the Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali or the Madni Rahmatullah Ali. But now, lower down the ranks, then it became like a free-for-all. That, well, there's a difference of opinion, so this is a all-out dispute. Now, these people are in their own places, doing what they have to do. But now the whole country, millions, in fact billions of people, well, millions at that time, hundreds of millions, where they have control over the masses and people on the ground, and unfortunately jahalat, and how things are and what happens and what goes on. So now this kind of quarreling and fighting and even physically getting involved in things and all kinds of vulgarity and whatnot was the order of the day. Any case, one person one day, he got into some discussion with somebody who was, now he was one of the people who were associated with the Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh. And he got into this discussion with somebody who was supporting the other side. So he said something, the other party said something. He then mentioned, look, both sides, these are very great personalities, great saints. So, you know what, we shouldn't be quarreling and fighting in this manner. So then this discussion, nevertheless, just the crux of it, he finally came to Tanabon, he came to where Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh's base was. And he happened to meet Hazrat's, one of his khuddam, one of those who are very close to him, his khadims. So he related this whole conversation he had with somebody else, and in that he mentioned that I said that both of these people are great saints. So why do we carry on like this? So now he's talking to the khadim of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, one of the khadims. So that person blurted out something. He said, if you think Maulana Madni is a saint, then even Shaitan is a saint. So this person got a shock. He said, it was at night. He said, I will relate this as whatever is, has been discussed now, I will relate it to Hazrat tomorrow morning. He said, yeah, very well, go and do so. Because he thought, well, that's how everybody thinks. So the next morning, this person came, he met Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, and he explained to him that I have come with a very heavy heart due to what has transpired, what conversation happened last night. Then he explained the whole thing, that this is what I was discussing, and this khadim, this is the statement he made, that if you call him Muhammadni a saint, then even Shaitan is a saint. He asked him, can you repeat this in his presence? He said, yes, I can repeat it. So he called for the other party. So you know him? Say, I know him very well. And do you have any quarrel and dispute with him? Now, subhanallah, these are all lessons. That if there's some old quarrel carrying on, then maybe now he's exaggerating something, or he's out to now just try and run this person down for no reason. So do you have any quarrel and dispute with him? No, I don't have any quarrel and dispute with him. So okay, he has something to say about you, you'll accept it. You have confidence in him, that he's not going to lie. He's not going to fabricate something against you. He said, no, I know him. He's a good person, pious person. He won't fabricate anything against me. Now after all this, these are all big lessons. So then he asked, okay, you repeat what you said. So he repeated the whole story. And in that the statement that when I said this, this is the statement he made. So I asked him, did you make the statement? He said, yes, I made it. Acknowledged it. So when he acknowledged it, now the whole thing was done. The case was over. There was no need for any further discussion. Hazrat called somebody. Now this was one of the khadims. So now he was like one of the, called it house people now. Hazrat called some other khadim, called him, this person's name was Sulaiman. So he said, hold him by his ear and get him out from here, out of the khanqah. He mustn't enter here again. And he must not communicate with me anything, and I have no relationship with him anymore. Out. Now for people of that time who understood, now this was a serious blunder this person made, but at the same time, they still had that understanding that look, if he made a blunder, there's no other way but to get back to where we were. We want to sort it out. We can't just now decide, okay, well, we kicked out from here, so there's plenty places in the dunya, we'll go somewhere else. It doesn't work like that. If we've locked this door, we'll lock our roads everywhere. So any case, he had to leave, because that was now, there was no way that he could remain there. But then he went and he wherever he went back to his hometown, wherever, and he wrote to Hazrat, please, I made a terrible mistake, please forgive me. He said, you must ask for forgiveness from the person who you have spoken against. Asking me for that forgiveness is not going to help. So this person went all the way to Deoband. He met with Hazrat Madni rahmatullahi alayhi. Now these are the two personalities who are deemed to be on the total opposite ends of this matter, over which lower down people are even becoming physical in their fights. He went to Hazrat Madni rahmatullahi alayhi and he asked him, please, I'm in this predicament, I've been sent out of the Khanqa, and till I don't get your forgiveness, I'm not going to be allowed back in. So he said, doesn't matter, I've forgiven you. He said, please write it for me. So he wrote it, I've forgiven Brother Sulaiman, whatever. He comes with that, or he sends it through. When it comes, Hazrat says, what do I know that you gave the full story? You may have given a half a story and taken the forgiveness. Did you say what exactly you said about him? Till that is not in his writing, that this person gave me the full story and I have forgiven him, till then I'm not prepared to accept this. He went back. Hazrat Madni rahmatullahi alayhi, out of his shafqat, he says, he's given me the full story, he told me everything, I have forgiven him, I'm interceding on his behalf that you also forgive him. Now imagine somebody came and told him that this is a kind of statement I made about you, and please forgive me. So he's forgiving him, that yes, you called me a shaitan basically, you equated me with shaitan, but doesn't matter, forgiven. And on top of that, he's interceding that, look, your door got closed there, I'm interceding now that please open the door for him. After all that, he was then allowed back, but then too, you just stay in the corner, you just attend the majalis, etc. You don't come anywhere close to anything. All whatever previously was the case, you just be part of. The communication started much later. It was all part of that training and disciplining, that this way of loosely just using the tongue and making comments, but at the same time the lesson for us in this, what we were discussing is, that what cleanliness of the hearts of both these personalities. In fact, there's more incidents coming to mind about them, about this particular issue. Inshallah, we'll discuss it on tomorrow. Allah give tawfiq. But this is the primary lesson in it. The primary lesson, the cleanliness of the heart. And that the heart can be kept clean if we have the right focus. If we have the correct understanding. So despite whatever the issues are, but we can still do the right thing and deal with it in a dignified manner. Go about things in a way that we don't escalate issues, rather we de-escalate it, make big things small, rather than make small things big. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.